Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
This Bold series that we are in has been incredible. If you haven't had a chance to be part of all the different services that we've had, go back online and check them out. They have been fantastic. We start off with a bold approach to God, and Kevin so brilliantly illustrated that veil being torn so that he has access to us and we have direct access to him. And the bold prayers, that one has just changed my prayer life, even with my son, you know, in the car on the way to school, just the way that we pray together. And then Pastor Ken, when he talked about having that bold stance and not bowing, just what an incredible message that was, just on taking that stance. And then last week we had the one on bold transformation with Pastor Andy, when we're talking about that death to the old life and then the new creation is here. And today we're going to continue. We're going to be talking about bold evangelism and being a bold witness. And I'm going to ask you to bear with me, because I do a lot of my scriptures I have printed out here, because I can print them a little bigger than the words in the Bible sometimes. And sometimes, for those of you that know me, I do get a little distracted when I see all the pictures in there. So this way will help keep me a little more focused. But today we're talking about bold evangelism and being a bold witness. We need a bold witness in our community more than ever before. When you look at everything that's going on around us, just this, the utter chaos, the confusion, hatred, the bigotry. I mean, we live in a pretty messed up world right now. When you look at the decay of the family and the decay of even churches across America, we need Jesus now more than ever, and we need people to stand up and to be that witness in our communities. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." See, sin is destroying the moral fiber of our nation, and it's our job to do something about it. We have specific commands in the Bible that are telling us that we are to be that witness. And I'm going to read a few scriptures for you, and then you probably all wonder what all these chairs are back here. It's not for my multiple egos or personalities or anything. We actually have a group of dignitaries that are going to be coming up in a little bit, so I want to get to that. But throughout the scriptures, we are commanded to be a witness. Acts 1:8, just a powerful scripture. I love this verse. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." It says you shall receive power and you shall be witnesses. It doesn't say you can be or you might be or you ought to be. It says you shall be witnesses. This is a command we have. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 and 16. "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer." In the New King James, it says to give it a defense. "To everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have." See, first of all, you don't have to give an answer if you aren't living out that life of hope and people don't see something in you. They're not going to come and ask you any questions. But you have to be prepared to give that answer when you are living out that life. "But do this in gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." You're like, hold on a second. They're going to speak maliciously about me if I live this life out? Yes. Persecution in some way, shape, or form will come your way if you choose to live out a life of being a bold witness. See, Matthew 5:10-16 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you." Insults will come your way. My daughter in a Christian school getting insulted in the hallways for being a godly girl, calling her church girl. And I love my wife's response to her. She was just like, "Praise God, that's awesome. You know, you're living it out." "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad." Like, yay, I'm persecuted. It's like, it just kind of cracks me up. I'm like, really? We want to rejoice when we're being persecuted? But we do. We need to rejoice when we're being persecuted, because great is our reward in heaven. You know, I think of Pastor Sam Mayo going to heaven a couple weeks ago, and then Pastor Kevin's mom, and just thinking the rejoicing that's in heaven right now and just getting their eternal reward now. "For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?" My little granddaughter's with us, and she eats her crackers, and she like licks all the salt off first and then eats the cracker. I'm like, that's what I think of when I saw that saltiness part. So I'm telling you, my mind does go places. Pray for my wife. She lives with me. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. And the King James says, put it under a bushel. And Pastor Evelyn, you know, when we were in Sunday school back in the old days, we sang that little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Okay. Yeah. Pastor Brock did not call me back for after the worship tryouts. I'm not bitter. Don't let Satan it out. Kind of like your dreams of being on the worship team. I'm not comparing him to Satan. He was a worship leader as well, but just, no. In all honesty, though, we are blessed to have Pastor Brock here. He is phenomenal, so thank you. Even though I do see similarities, but... You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light the lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and give light, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We need to be the light. As Christians, we need to stand out in this world. They need to see our light more than ever before now. In our families, in our households, dads, we need to be the light to our children. For some of you, maybe you haven't been that light. Maybe your light's been a little bit dimmer. You know, one of the easiest things you can do is ask for forgiveness to those people at work that maybe you participated in the jokes that you shouldn't have, or maybe in your family when you are a little harsh with your kids or say the wrong things, to be able to go to them and apologize and to help bring some light back to those situations. But 2 Corinthians 5, I love this chapter. If you get a second sometime in your own quiet times there, read this. Chapter 5 starts out talking about our assurance of salvation, and then it goes on talking about the judgment seat of Christ and how we're going to be held accountable one day for all of our actions. Lord, I'm going to take you to verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. See, to be reconciled is to be restored, to be decisively changed. It's when two parties come together for the same position. We have been reconciled back to Christ. See, there was a separation between man and God because of sin, and he brought that reconciliation. It goes on to say, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. See, we don't have a reconciliation ministry here at the church per se, but we do. That's each of us. We are supposed to be operating in that ministry of reconciliation, bringing others to a right relationship with Christ. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed us to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as through God we are making his appeal through, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It says there that we are Christ ambassadors. And having spent a lot of time overseas in different countries, I got to spend time in different ambassadors' homes and get to see the whole function of an ambassador. You see, an ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. An ambassador is a person who acts as a representative or a promoter of a specified activity. See, as Christians, we are supposed to be Christ ambassadors. He has appointed us as his ambassadors to represent his kingdom. And right now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ask our dignitaries to come forward. These are four people that I admire, and you know, I would go ahead and applaud them as they come, but these are some of God's ambassadors. Welcome to our living room. It's not really cozy. All right, so I'm going to have you go ahead and introduce yourself, sir.
I'm Josh, and I'm a leadership college student here at Life Church.
And Josh, where are you working at now?
I work over at Menards in McChesney Park.
Can you tell us a little bit about maybe a testimony of a time where you got to share Jesus at work?
Yeah. So there was one time specifically, probably about a year ago, I was working at Menards, and I went outside just to like drop some pallets off on the forklift. And just to set the tone, Menards, I work in the receiving department and outside yard, which isn't like the cleanest environment. There's a lot of like dirty jokes and like, all the guys back there, it's just like not a Christian atmosphere. So we're outside though, and this one guy is allergic to bees, and there's a bee kind of swarming around him, and he's like, man, if this bee stings me, I'm totally gonna die. So I took that as an opportunity to be like, well, if you were to die, where would you go? So there was another guy standing there, and I got to talk to both of them about Jesus and just the gospel, and I ended up leading both of them to the Lord right there. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. No pun intended, but when he says, be listening, we have to be listening to those little subtle things that people say and pay attention to what people are saying. A lot of times we get so, our heads are going in different directions and we're not really paying attention to what people are saying. We're just listening to be listening, but we're not truly listening. But he was listening and being attentive to what his coworkers were saying and gave him that opportunity to share Jesus. Go ahead and give us another testimony.
So there was another one where there was this guy at work, and I met him like my first day there, and I knew it would be a while before I probably got to share Jesus with him. He just is one of those guys where he believes, like, if all this bad stuff is happening in the world, how could there even be a God? And he's very against religion and Jesus and everything. So I just began to make that friendship, and I began to talk to him over the course of about a year. And then I eventually had the opportunity to just lead him to the Lord, too. So that was really cool.
That's awesome.
And then I have one more. So then last week on Tuesday night, well, the day before, Pastor Dustin is our director for our college, our spiritual director, and he was telling us about evangelism and just kind of teaching on it. And I got all excited about it. And before I went into work on Tuesday night, I was praying that God would give me another opportunity just to share Jesus with somebody new at work. And then that night I was up on the Joe, which is like a forklift, but you get raised up in the air. So we're about 30 feet up, and this guy says, man, if I fall off this thing, I'm totally going to die. So God set me up again, and I began talking to him. I talked to him for about 30 minutes. He hadn't been to church in years, and he used to go to a Mormon church. And I didn't get to pray the prayer of salvation with him and lead him to the Lord yet, because every time we went to pray, someone else would kind of walk in, and we got interrupted. But that's coming soon.
I love his second testimony. He was talking about it took a year that he was just living the life out in front of this gentleman at work. So he was that light for over a year to just break down and to get this guy to that point where he was ready to give his life to the Lord. And then that second one where, you know what, he didn't get to lead him to the Lord yet, but those seeds have been planted. And Pastor Bev was talking to me earlier today about how one person plants a seed, another one gets to water, and then another one gets to reap that harvest. She was talking to me about a guy that they've been, you know, pouring into this guy's life for 10 years. So it does. Sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it does take time to develop, but it's building those intentional relationships to get to that point. So thank you for sharing. Next, we have Lindsay. Lindsay, who are you?
My name is Lindsay, and I am also a Leadership College student.
What I love about Lindsay is she just, there's this happiness and joy that just, like, comes off of her all the time. And the neat thing is, I did a study once on compassion, and this girl's full of compassion. And I challenge you to pray bold prayers about getting compassion in your life, because when you live out a compassionate life, you look at every time Jesus had compassion, miracles followed. And this is a girl that does. She's a compassionate girl. But share, if you don't mind, share a couple testimonies with us.
Yeah. So we were listening to a teaching by Pastor Dustin, and I knew during the teaching in the back of my mind after the teaching was over that I would have to leave and go to Schnucks because I needed water. And as Pastor Dustin was closing out the service, he just encouraged us as students to just be aware of our surroundings. If God gave us an opportunity to lead someone to the Lord, to just take it and just be aware. And right after he finished saying that, I had a vision, and I saw myself in the Schnucks parking lot praying the salvation prayer with a lady. And I said, okay, God, I just give this over to you. And I left. I drove to Schnucks. And I was walking in the parking lot. I hadn't even gotten in the building yet. And I passed a lady, and God was like, that's her. And I don't know if you ever had that happen where you pass somebody and God points them out and you kind of got to do one of these, you know? No, just me, okay? So I approached her, and my heart just started beating really fast. And I was like, man, this is the lady. This is the one that you showed me, God. And there was no script. There was just nothing. I just approached her, and I started talking to her. I was like, you know, do you know who Jesus is? And she, of course, said yes. And I asked, well, you know, how do you get saved? And she didn't know, so I knew that she wasn't saved. And I began to talk to her. You know, in the Bible, it says this. It says that when you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And just talking to her about who Jesus is and God and what Jesus paid for her to have, that God sent his son to die on the cross so that we could come into a relationship with him. And I asked her, would you like to have that? And she said, yes. So we prayed the salvation prayer in the Schnucks parking lot. And then I continued to talk to her about God's will, that yes, Jesus did die on the cross to pay for our salvation and a relationship with Jesus, but he also paid for us to be healed and to be set free and to live this greater life. And she said, you know what? I have pain in my knees right now. And I said, okay, we're going to pray. And so she got saved and healed in the Schnucks parking lot.
I just think it's so neat how she was just following those promptings that God had placed in her heart. And, you know, how many times have we been to Schnucks or Meijer's or a different grocery store? And we're just worried about, like, am I going to forget my milk or my eggs? You know, like, you go and have a purpose everywhere you go in life. Go ahead and share that other testimony you have.
Yeah, so my other testimony is the complete opposite of the other one. I was in Schnucks again, but Pastor, I know, it's the place, guys, it's the place.
They're not paying her for saying that either.
I was in Schnucks, and Pastor Dustin had sent the Leadership College out to evangelize, and I was with Tori Barnes, and we were just walking around, and we saw a couple standing over there, and there was no glory cloud, there was no prompting or leading. Tori and I just saw an opportunity, and we took it. So we approached this couple, and the lady was really responsive. So we started talking to her, just making casual conversation, you know, asking about her children, her family. She was just very open and very just hungry to hear and just have a conversation with us. That's what I loved it. And this time I did use a script with her. I asked her, you know, if you were to die today, do you know where you're going? And she looked at me, and I could almost see the fear in her eyes. And she said, you know, I'm Catholic, and I don't know where I'm going. And I said, well, you can know today, because it says in God's word that when you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved, and you can have that assurance. You can come boldly into the throne room of God because of what Jesus had paid for you. And you can come into this relationship and have the assurance and the confidence of knowing where you're going. And she just got all excited, and she prayed the salvation prayer with us in Schnucks. And it was just such a blessing to me, because I could see the fruit of just taking an opportunity and God blessing it. She was just so thankful and so grateful. She probably thanked Tori and I like 10 times. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And it was just such a cool thing to see God do.
Thank you. I think it's just so cool how she has that boldness to obey in every situation that she walks into. So thank you for sharing that. Now, this next lady needs a little bit more introduction. A lot of you probably don't know her. She's kind of new around here. Evelyn Gibson is kind of a new person into the church world. Pastor Evelyn, how long have you been in ministry or as a Christian?
Well, I got saved 50 years ago.
And you were how old? Two?
2 years yeah. old. I crawled down to the altar. And
Evelyn, you've been at this a while, but I want you to start with a story that motivated you to share Jesus with people.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that where we start out is not where we finish. And so when I first got saved, I was so afraid of ever witness to anybody, and I just was really afraid. And I stayed way away from it. And the man who stood up with us, him and his wife, when we got saved, or when we got married, he got cancer. And I knew he wasn't saved. But I'll tell you something. When we got saved, we really got saved. So we lost all our friends. You know, everybody that was close to us, they backed up from us. And so when he got sick, I went. And I didn't want to mess that up. I mean, that, just to be honest with you, I didn't want to, but I was scared too. So then I went over there. I said, could I pray with you? And he said, yes. And I got down and prayed. And then I tried to make a deal with God. I said, God, you let me learn all these scriptures, because I was a fairly new Christian. Let me learn all these scriptures. And when I learn them, I'll lead him to the Lord. So we were out there on Wednesday night, and God set it up. I mean, it was set up, but I was too afraid to say anything. And so on Friday, he died. So I was mad at God, you know, because you let him die. And the Lord turned it right back to me. And so then I said to him, I'm just going to quit everything. I'm not going to quit you, I'm going to still live for you, but I'm not going to teach Sunday school anymore. They had me teaching six-year-olds. That's the only ones they trusted me with. They knew more than me. Anyway, I said, I'm just not going to do any of that. I'll still love you and I'll live for you, but I'm not going to, I'm just going to pull back. And God gave me a vision. And I saw myself standing on the edge of a precipice, and I could see the flames, and I could see the rocks, and I saw people going off into hell, screaming, just going off, falling. And I looked down at my hands, and there was blood dripping through my hands. And the Lord said to me, if you warn not the wicked, I'll require their blood at your hands. Now, I understand that was Old Testament. I understand that I probably still don't know exactly what that meant, but it scared me. And I thought, well, I didn't know where it came from, so I went to the Bible and I found it. And listen, that was quite a chore, because that was before internet, and you couldn't go on there and look. You had to do all the work yourself. Anyway, I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, if you set it up, I will witness to anybody in the world. It don't matter. You set it up. I'm not going to run up and down the streets, holler and repent. They'll put me away. But I said, I will witness to anybody you set it up. So I became really dangerous because I'm hunting people. Hallelujah. But I am more afraid of someone looking at me and saying, you had the answer and you didn't tell me, than I am of ever witnessing. But God put such a boldness in me at that time that I began to pray, Lord, send me to the one closest hell. Just get me to him and I'll catch him for you. And so God has begun to set up stuff. I mean, just all over the place. I don't have to go looking for people. People come to me. I was in Olive Garden one day at noon, and you know how busy it is at noon. And the young man who waited on me came and knelt at the end of my table and said, ma'am, I need to know Jesus. Would you help me? Now, I didn't know him. Roy and I were in a restaurant one night, and the lady came, just a young girl, and she knelt down at the end of the table. She said, I need to find Jesus, and I know you can help me. My mom and I, she was at the end of her life, she was in a care center, and I was in there with her, and this large man came in and backed up against the door and held it. And I thought, blood of Jesus, hallelujah. I claimed the 91st Psalm. I didn't know what he was going to do. Anyway, he said, ma'am, I need to find Jesus, and I know you can help. Now, these are people I don't know. I remember standing in a line. We were in California, and we were in a line to get in this restaurant, and the lady came out, the lady who, she wasn't a waitress, but she was the
hostess.
Hostess, yeah, hard word. Anyway, the lady came out, and she said to me, I know you're a Christian, and I need you to come in here. And she took me in and set me beside a woman she wanted me to witness to. And so it's just...
Aren't you glad she never quit? I just, this woman lives an attractional life. You see, that fire was lit over 50 years ago, and she's just kept fanning that flame, let it get brighter and brighter and brighter. You're like, I've never had anybody come up to me. Well, let that flame burn for 50 years and let it get brighter, and people are going to start getting drawn to you even more. Evelyn, I want you to share the story, another testimony, the one maybe about the bus driver.
Yeah, I was... It was the day after Christmas, and it was real bad weather, and my daughter was going to fly back to California. So Roy said, just go get yourself a ticket, ride the bus, and come back. Well, when I got out to the bus coming back, I was the only one on the bus. And I had a ticket, and he could not throw me off. So I got right up behind him. What's he going to do? I got 90 miles. So I got right up behind him, and I began to share Jesus. So for all those miles, I just preached Jesus. Just before we got to Rockford, he pulled the bus off to the side of the road, and he and I prayed, and he accepted Jesus. And then he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, well, I'm at it. I got something wrong with my knee. Would you pray for that? So he just accepted Jesus there, and he told me, he said, this is the best Christmas I ever had. See, you have all kinds of setups. Ask the Lord. You don't have to do what I do, but ask the Lord for a setup. You know, set it up, Lord, and I'll...
She's been praying those bold prayers all along, you know, like Pastor Kevin talked about. Be bold in your prayers. A lot of you aren't having these situations because you're not praying the bold prayers. You're not praying that God brings those people to you. And then you're afraid of what that's going to happen when he does. So that's why we have to be prepared for when he does bring those people to us. Cher, the other day, you were out to lunch with a pastor.
Yeah. It was a young pastor that came from Atlanta, and he called me and said, would I have lunch with him? So I went, and this lady came up to me. I mean, we were in Panera's, and it was busy, and so we were kind of sitting in the middle. It was the only place we could find, and here she came, and she touched me. And I turned around and looked at her, and I didn't know her. She said, would you touch me? I said, do you mean would I pray for you? That's what she meant. So I prayed, and then he looked at me, and he said, what just happened? Did you know her? I said, no, I didn't. Well, what just happened? I said, that happens to me all the time. He said, well, it don't happen to me. So I'm sorry. You know, it's. You know, you just are expecting, and the Lord just does it. Let me tell you about a salesman. He sold me a car, and he said, I'll fill the car up with gas. You meet me at the gas station. So I did, and he was putting gas in my car. He put the thing in, and the Lord said, get him. So I got out, and I began to share Jesus with him, and he began to cry, and he said, you sound just like my mother. And so, I mean, I didn't look old enough to be his mother. I don't know what he was talking about. But anyway, I led him to the Lord there. And now when I see him, he'll say, do you remember? I think, how could I ever forget? You know, hallelujah.
That's awesome. I think it's neat how God has a different voice for everybody, too. His is that get him. And for others, it might be go get him. For me, it's like, I am your father. I've never had an audible voice yet, so that's not... I just imagine that's what mine would be. But next we have Pastor Dustin. And Pastor Dustin, explain a little bit about yourself and what you do around here.
Okay, I am the spiritual life director and recruitment director over the Leadership College. So I have an amazing job. If you guys don't know this, I literally get to take the students out and just do this stuff. So all the time we're going to Target, we're going to Walgreens, we're going to Walmart, because at any given time there's 300 to 500 people every half hour at Walmart that don't ever come to church. So we go and we find them and we learn how to win people not inside the church.
I want you to talk a little bit about the how-tos and also maybe tie in a little bit about what happens if somebody rejects you as well.
Yeah, I'm going to share two quick testimonies and then I'm just going to give exactly how I do it. So when we share these testimonies, they are to encourage you guys, because these are stories you can have too. And we're all meant to do the same things. It's not us up here. It's you guys out there. So my first story, and these are both ones that practically, I'm sure you guys have had experiences like this. I was in Pittsburgh for a conference, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we were in an Uber driver going back to the airport. It was about a 50-minute ride. And I'm always keeping my eyes open now, like Pastor Evan. She's the one that really taught me that, just paying attention all the time. So the whole time, I was looking in the mirror and just kind of connecting eyes with him, asking questions about him, and continuing to engage him for 50 minutes. When we got out of the car, the Lord told me to give him a really good tip. So I know there are people out there that are like, I wish people would listen to me. No one ever wants to talk to me. Try giving people money, and you'll get their attention. If you hand someone $100, they'll listen to what you have to say. They'll let you preach at them. So I handed him a tip and just asked him if I could pray for him. And the reason I gave him a good tip is I want him to open up. And as Christians, we should be the best tippers, honestly. Your waitress will listen to you if you bless her and give her a good tip. So with that being said, gave him a tip, asked him if I could pray for him. He's like, oh, awesome, yeah. So we prayed for him, and the Lord kind of spoke to my heart, and he said, don't try and get him saved. Don't try and go any further. Just pray for him and let him go. So I did that, and I began to walk towards the airport, and he walked around from his trunk to his front door, thinking, I'm never going to see this man ever again. As soon as he got to his front car door, he leaned over, and I can still see it in my mind, and he goes, hey, thank you so much for the prayer. And immediately God spoke to my heart and said, now go get him. So I don't know what happened between the trunk, what God did in him between the trunk and the front door, but I walked around, and I walked through my steps, which we'll go through, and I just asked him the questions and led him to Jesus right outside the airport. It was amazing.
That's awesome. Go ahead and share your next one, too.
So the other one, this is probably the closest one to my heart because this was my first one. I've been privileged to see hundreds of these outside the church, and this was my very first one. I'd never done a cold witness before. I'd never approached someone. Frankly, I was scared to talk to anyone. I mean, I loved Jesus, but I didn't know how to talk to someone. So one day I was talking to God, telling him about, you know, the subjects I like to teach, and we were talking about healing because I'm very passionate about healing. And we started talking about evangelism, and I said, Lord, you know, that's for baby Christians. They can't talk about anything else, so they can only cover that. And it's terrible, I know. And the Lord spoke to me very sternly, and he said, no, Dustin, I need you to have this too. I said, okay, you say so. So I went online. I watched a training. It was a two-hour training. I took notes and just ate that thing up. And the very next day, God doesn't wait very long. You guys are all probably going to have an opportunity when you walk out today or this week. I'm going to be completely honest. And it was the very next day I was going to get my oil changed. And if we will just pay attention, these scenarios are all over. So I walked in, never done this before. Get ready to sit down. There's a woman probably sitting from me to where the front row is. And sat down, and God speaks to my heart, and he says, go get her saved. And that just means go lead her to Jesus. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. No, thank you. So he began to talk to me a little longer, and eventually he'll leave you alone. But I argued with him. I said, no, God, I'm not doing that. That's weird. And so finally I said, you know what I'll do? I'll go to my car. I'll get my Bible. I'll walk in. I'll kind of hold it out like this. And she'll see it, and she'll say, oh, you have your Bible, and started to ask me questions. It'll be really easy. Because as Christians, if we're honest, everyone here, we want it to be easy, don't we? We want people to just walk up to us. And some people will do that. But there's a lot of times it's our job to pursue. We've been sent to do the same thing Jesus did. And what did he do? He seek and save the lost, not wait and be found. So with that, when I walked in my Bible, I just said, whatever, I'm going to do it. You know, very obedient. I said, okay. And I went up to her, and I had my card that I was learning to evangelize off of. And I went through the steps. And she prayed with me right in the oil change place. She got healed. And I saw her at our food pantry the next day. And she's like, you know, you really made an impression on me. But that was Jesus. She didn't know. So, yeah.
I think it's cool how he has a game plan set out before he ever has any of these encounters. And I think it's important that we are prepared. And he's going to tell us a little bit about how he does prepare and just the how-tos. A lot of people call it the Romans road or the Romans map to heaven. But he goes and he has this game plan laid out. For some of you, it may be writing these verses down, having a little card with you. For others, just memorizing them. But go ahead and share a little bit about...
Yeah, please let me tell you, this is so easy. I never did this before. It is so easy. Everyone in here can do it. So basically all I do, first of all, my heart is for people. I love people. I'm not out there trying to get testimonies. I'm not out there trying to get people saved. I love people. And the thought of them not knowing this amazing God, just, I can't stand it. So my approach is everything I do with people, I'm trying to open them up. I don't ever want to hinder people. I'm trying to get them comfortable with me. So there's no hidden agenda. It's just I love them. So I'll usually walk up to people, find something I like, especially if they're a Packers fan. I got a Packers hat on. Hey, we're going to win the Super Bowl this year, you know. So just engaging conversation, because most people aren't ready for you to walk up to them. If you walk up and say hi to someone at the grocery store, they're kind of going to go, what do you want? So just, hey, I really like that shirt. Where did you get that at? And I know that seems cheesy, but you compliment a person and all of a sudden they'll just open up to you. Or, I really like how you did your hair. You know, I know, and obviously don't be weird, you know. But my first goal is to get that person to open up. If I can get them to smile at me, they've let their wall down. Because we all walk around with these walls up here. So you have to get their wall down before they'll listen to you. So that's my first step. Just get people comfortable with you. And then I just go for it. You look at them with compassion. And you just simply say to them, you know, if you die today, do you know where you'd go? And everyone has different approaches, but that's how I do it. I'm just very upfront. I say, hey, I got to know. And I always put the pressure on me so they don't feel like they're the bad. You know, I got to know. If you die today, do you know where you'd go? And then from there, I make them identify themselves. So they're either going to tell me heaven or they don't know. So if they say heaven, I don't just assume and say, hey, praise God, and walk away. If they say they're Christian, I don't do that. Because most of the United States would identify with being a Christian, right? So I make them identify themselves. How do I do that? So if you have a 2-year-old in front of you and you say, did you know 2 + 2 = 4? What are they going to say? Yeah. But if you walk up to a 2-year-old and say, what's 2 + 2? Okay, you just made them give you the answer. So I do that with people. I don't say, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? I will say, okay, when you get to heaven and you walk up to God and he says, why should I let you in? What's going to be your answer? And then they will now identify if I'm saved or unsaved. That's exactly how I do it.
That's awesome. Go ahead and give these guys a hand. I talked to Pastor Bev earlier today, and I said, how incredible when you think of how many lives have been led to the Lord from this panel that's up here on stage. It's just amazing that the heaven is getting even more and more populated. And you know what? And as we become that light in our communities, and we become that light, let that light start burning brighter, there's even going to be more and more people added to his kingdom. And here at Life Church, we created an opportunity for you to be able to be a witness in your community. This year for our Halloween outreach, it's called Light the Night. And we've got a little video to show you how you can be involved and how you can actually be part of sharing the gospel this year.
Oh no, not again, those stinking little ankle biters. Get away, get away. Oh God, please, I beg of you, please send them away. Get them off my doorstep.
What are you doing?
I'm hiding.
You're hiding on the darkest night spiritually when God is giving you these kids at your front door? You need to light the night.
Light the what?
Yes, light the night. I have a kit that will show you how to do it step by step. Would you like me to show you?
Okay. Show me.
Step one, we need to turn on your porch lights.
Right.
Step two is to make a welcoming atmosphere, so you might have to put a smile on that grumpy face. Good job. Step three, open the door. You're going to give the best candy in the neighborhood and give them the literature that is provided in your kit.
Wow, let's do it.
Here you go.
Here you go, kids.
You're welcome.
See ya. Wow, that was easy. But wait a minute. What about people that don't have kids in their neighborhood?
So people at Life Church can sign up to be a volunteer at one of our four locations, or they can request an at-home kit that will explain to them some ideas on how to have their own neighborhood party.
You know what? This is really easy, and it's really fun. I'm in. You know, this is really weird. Can you leave now?
It's a simple way for all of us to get involved this Halloween. See, for years, we've asked you to turn your lights off and come here. And this year, we're asking you to stay home, be in your community, turn your light on, be a light in your community this year. We made it simple. Come into the back after the service, sign up. We have in the community center there. There's a form you can fill out and say, I want to get one of those packets that I can have at my house. It's simple. Hand out candy. Hand out the literature that we provided for you. You don't even have to say anything. And then that's got invites to bring them back here to church. It's a simple way for you to get started with your bold evangelism. And then start praying. Start praying, God, give me more boldness. Give me more boldness to share others. A lot of you are probably looking up here saying, you know what? You've got pastors on stage. You've got people that are in Bible school. So they're supposed to do things like this. But you know what? It's a command. Those scriptures that we read earlier, it's for all of us. We are all commanded to be a witness. I want to share a little testimony with you. See, I was a missionary in Africa. We came home and we were working in Ohio at jewelry stores. I was running several jewelry stores. And one thing, the lady, our HR, knew that I was a Christian. And she said, you're not allowed to talk religion, not allowed to talk politics. Two things I'm very passionate about. So I kept praying. I'm like, Lord, give me an opportunity to share you with these people. Let me share you with my coworkers. Let me help lead them to the Lord. And I kept praying that prayer. And one day, one of my managers, Shirley, came to me and said, Chad, Jim's got cancer. It's stage 4. He's been a smoker his whole life, and they don't think he's going to make it. So I went up, and I prayed with Jim. And I left it at that. Well, Jim would actually, he would come with Shirley to the stores, and he'd be carrying his oxygen machine with him when an alarm would go off because she couldn't go by herself. And I remember seeing Jim in that stage. And one day she said, Chad, it's really taking a turn for the worse. So I went up to the hospital and I knew this was the time. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I felt that something stirred inside of me that this is the time. And I remember kneeling at Jim's bed and I prayed that God would heal him. And I left it at that. And I walked out. Got a call from Shirley a little while later, said Jim slipped into a coma. I think he's gone. My heart broke because I missed my opportunity. Wendy could tell you, she was there for me, and it was one of the just darkest times. And I was like, God, I blew it. You know, here I was a missionary in Africa, I'm a pastor, and then here's a chance for me to get to witness to somebody, and I blew it. And I said, God, please give me one more chance. I'll tell you, it's some of the boldest prayers I had. I was just praying, God, wake him up out of this coma. And I remember going to the hospital room, and right as I walked in that room, Jim's eyes opened and he woke up. And I got to lead Jim to the Lord. Shortly after that, Jim passed away. And Shirley asked me, she goes, Chad, I want you to do Jim's funeral. It's the first funeral I ever did. I got to do Jim's funeral with 200 of his coworkers from Continental Airlines and all of my managers and staff from the jewelry stores. And I asked Shirley, what do you want me to share? And she goes, Chad, I want you to share exactly what you shared with Jim that day in the hospital. And I got to give a clear-cut plan of salvation to everybody I worked with. I'm telling you, bold prayers, God will answer them. I was fortunate that I got a second chance with Jim. But those second chances don't always come, as Evelyn can tell you. And after 50 years of her going and just being bold in her witness, I'm telling you guys, don't miss your opportunity. God is going to ordain moments for you to get to share with others. And don't bow, as Pastor Ken spoke a couple weeks ago. Stand up and be bold. I'm going to pass it over to Pastor Dustin now.
Yeah, do you guys mind if I join you up here real quick? I have two things I want to do. We never want to take for granted that everyone knows this amazing God. And you might say, Dustin, I don't know if I believe all that. It's too late. I've seen too much. He's real and he loves you. And if I were to ask you, imagine right now, put yourself in that situation. You're standing before God. He's sitting on his throne. He says, why on earth should I let you in? You've lived your whole life. Now why should I let you in here? What would you say to him? What would be your answer? If it's anything outside, I know I've asked Jesus to come and save me. If it's I've been a good person, I've done some good, or I'm not sure, that's not good enough. Okay, the Bible's very clear that Romans 3 says we've all sinned, we've all messed up, every one of us up here. Romans 6 says the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ the Lord. And Romans 10 says all who call upon the name Lord will be saved. Can I ask everyone to bow their head and close their eyes for me real quick? If you've never done that, if you've never taken an opportunity, if I walked right up to you right now and I said, if God were to ask you why should I let you in and you don't know your answer, I'm going to ask you to pray with me today. So if that's you, would you just slip up your hand so I can pray with you? If that's you, you've never taken an opportunity to take this free gift that's been offered to you, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up and pray with me. Okay, I'm never going to take for granted that there's someone out there. So I'm going to ask everyone to pray this with me real quick. Say this with me. Say, Dear God, thank you for seeing me just as I am. I realize I've sinned and I've walked away from you. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. Amen. And I have one last thing I want to do. Obviously, since we have believers in here, our main thing after this was we wanted a bold prayer. And you see these people, they walk in boldness. And there's probably several of you that while you were listening to these testimonies, you're probably saying, I wish I could do that. I'd like to do that. That kind of sounds fun. I remember hearing stories of people. I'd never done it before. I'd hear stories of people that would walk to a grocery store and do this. And man, it just excited me. Like, I want to be a part of this. So I apologize for reading off my notes, but there's a couple things God specifically told me to say, and I do not want to forget them. So you've probably had people come to mind. God's given you opportunities already. There's many of you in here that said, I remember that time at work. I remember that family member God told me to speak to him and I didn't obey. Okay, God's not mad at you. There's no condemnation. Don't feel guilty. Okay, and I want to just expose something. Satan has lied to us. Okay, he's told you that people don't want this. He's told you that people aren't going to like you or they're going to be mean to you. Listen, we don't care anymore. Okay, Satan has lied to you and he told you you can't do it. He told you people won't receive you if you do it. So don't believe him. It's fear. When something inside you says, go talk to that person, and you don't do it, why not? Why wouldn't you? It's fear. We got to quit being afraid. People are waiting for you to walk into their life. There are people you are working with right now that need you. They absolutely need you. Their life depends on you walking up to them. And the last thing God told me, he said, if you are unwilling to talk to someone because you're worried about what they'll think of you, you love yourself too much. So if you've never talked to someone because, man, I don't want to be weird, they might not talk to me anymore, then you love yourself too much because you care more about what they're going to think of you than you care about their eternity. So I'm going to invite my altar workers up to the corners here, and I'm just going to give everyone here an opportunity. I'm going to invite you up front to the altars, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for boldness. If you want a new fire, if you want to say, God, I want to go after people like I've never before, I'm done with being scared. I'm done being afraid. I want to invite you up front with us. You can come now, and then once I pray, you'll be dismissed. So if you'd say, Lord, I want more boldness. I want more fire. Don't be afraid. I promise you, if you come up here, your life will never be the same. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wait just one more minute. If you'd say, God, I'm done sitting on the sidelines. I want to be checked into the game. I'm done. I'm done sitting around letting other people do the work. I'm done not talking to people that you're telling me to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes and put one hand on your heart for me. You can raise the other one. You can do what you want. But this is between you and God. You're making an agreement with him today that you're never going to be the same. And when he taps you on the shoulder next time, you're not going to be scared and you're going to do it. I would rather step out. Let this be a phrase that's in your heart. I would rather step out believing it's God than leave wondering if it was him. Don't let another opportunity go by. Heavenly Father, right now I thank you for everyone at this altar. I thank you for everyone in this room. And I just speak boldness over them right now in Jesus' name. Your word says in Proverbs 28:1 that the righteous are as bold as a lion. We are no longer moved by how we feel or what we see. If we've been scared in the past, that's not us. Satan's lied to us. I bind that spirit of fear right now in Jesus' name, and I speak boldness into their hearts. And Father, I'm asking that you would ignite the soul winner and the evangelist in each one of these. Give them opportunities. Make them a soul winner. Begin to speak to them about those people around them. Father, I thank you for putting a passion inside their heart that they've never had before. Lord, stir inside of them what you've put inside of me. Give it to them. More, God, I thank you. I thank you for every testimony that's going to come. And Lord, I'm asking in those moments where they don't know what to say that you would give them the words. Lord, I thank you for them up here. I just speak a fire into their heart right now. Let them never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.